Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Our youth kind of hide from us, and they sit in the back there under those little eaves. And they're here most weeks, but they're just in the back. They're content just to listen, and then they go and discuss important things with their group in the library. This year, they've been caught up in argument and discovery over very important questions, such as, why do bad things happen? And what is the proper way to eat an Oreo? Please don't answer. I always feel honored to be invited into their discussion and discoveries, and today we get to welcome them to the front of the church to bring some of their beliefs and wisdom to the rest of the congregation. Knowing that this is only one piece of their UU journey, they're excited to share in this spiritual discovery with you.
No matter the color of your skin,
no matter your age, stage, or gender, and no matter who you love,
no matter your beliefs of God and the afterlife,
whether or not you care about the Marvel Universe scene Endgame or not,
whether you are in or out of tune, and no matter your hobbies,
you are welcome here.
To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts.
We light a second pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope and celebration.
I'd like to invite up the parents of the Koa youth to light the chalice. Today, the Koa youth have decided to have our parents light the chalice. They have been our guides and our mentors throughout our lives. They have taught us almost everything we know. They have taught us the beliefs that we know and live by, and the beliefs that we will be sharing with you today.
In preparing for this service, I remembered this book from my childhood. It talks about all the ways we can find peace in the world and weaves in our responsibility to seek peace and make peace in our world. If Peace Is, by Jane Basquiat. If peace is a candle, I'll light one each night. If peace is a hand, I'll hold on so tight. If peace is a bell, I'll make it ring. If peace is a song, I'll want to sing. If peace is a gift, I'll open it with care. If peace is a treasure, I'll search everywhere. If peace is a garden, I'll tend to every seed. If peace is a book, I'll have to read. But peace is more than all of these things, more than a book or a bell that rings. It's more than the work of just one or two. Peace is the work that we all must do. Peace is a promise we make one another to love and protect and to care for each other. It's a hand waved in friendship or a smile on a face, a kind word and deed anytime, any place. Peace is a promise, it's something we do, for peace is a promise kept always by you. I believe peace is something we do, and I hope you find ways to bring peace into the world through our service today in the Bridge House and beyond. My name's Ashlyn Murray, and I go to Da Vinci Junior High, and when reflecting on my beliefs in Koa and on my own, I wrote this poem. In silence, our thoughts find purchase, in the memories that find their way to that evergreen part of ourselves where love and struggle reside. The gates to mine are shut and locked, with dust and cobwebs as the only markings of time, as I continue to sweep past without courage or hope, because the thought of opening such a place was too much to bear. As I realized how the tangle of the past clouds the future, and feeling became a bit too much. So I shut the gates to this castle inside and threw away the key, and made a vow inside myself quite a long time ago that no one would ever see. And every time the gates call and beckon, the thoughts came crashing down. So to dive so deep inside, to think, what just happened? How do I feel? Why did that happen? And most pertinent, what do I believe? Seemed too daunting. But with a bit of a shove, I took a step inside, past my gates of ignorant bliss, to find a fluttering, bursting, erupting valley of credence and belief. Lively patches and bursting blooms of faith. Faith that where there's life, there's possibility. People can change, people can grow, people can realize, people can adapt, people are good. Even those whose opinions send your own flowers withering and reaching for any place that is far, far away, even those people have goodness inside, have lays of hope, of love, of meaning, and worth inside of themselves. These people deserve to be treated fairly, no matter your beliefs or your understanding of theirs. I believe you do not get to decide the lives of those around you. The path is theirs to make as it is our own. Just beside these lay a patch of trust and constant forces, that time and change go hand in hand and bring about things so rarely recognized until they've come and gone. And when they're gone, you finally realize how you really feel, always just a little too late. But it's often overlooked, I think, how these moments are really a gift, something we can learn from and use to be someone better, to walk a little gentler, to see a little clearer, to be a little kinder, and always grow a little wiser. But back in the little garden, nestled deep inside, wrapped so cozily around my soul, are speckles of blooms sprinkled sporadically about this forgotten place, a begotten meadow of thoughts and beliefs. I believe in kindness, I believe in an open mind, I believe in peace and open communication, because I felt how suffocating it is to hold in your truth. I believe in supporting one another, especially those who need it most. I believe in empowering all women. I believe in equality, I believe in protecting our earth, and I believe we can make a change. I believe in empathy and walking in another's shoes. And above almost everything else, I do not believe in hate, no matter who it is for or who it is from. And because this meadow was not quite as small as I thought, I found it was really so vast that there was yet another bush, a young one, just a sapling, that believes in the wonder of youth, of the joy in the little details, the goofiness and freeing feeling of just being yourself, raw and unfiltered, and really seeing the beauty and the importance of holding on to even just a fraction of that excited, wandering being. And just a little further inside, there's a speckle of realization, often tucked neatly beside belief, that where you fall in life, where you break, where you think there is no better, where you feel like you've hit rock bottom, and there will be no swimming to the top, that's where you find yourself. Floating amongst throngs of regret, nostalgia, joy, and sadness, that's when you really see the sky, the colors, the people, the birds, when you feel the droplets of rain and sprinkler heads, and you hear your favorite song, that's when you truly fall in love with being alive. And I believe that's the beauty of this wonderful life, that we're all so lucky to have the chance to make the best of it, to get to live on this earth as who we are and experience these connections to people. I believe in the human race, that we can fix our mistakes, and I believe in hope.
My name is Juliet G. I'm a ninth grader at Emerson Junior High. I'm going to read On Children from The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backwards, nor tarries with yesterday.
You are like the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending with the archer's hand be for gladness, for as he loves the arrows that fly, he also loves the bow that is stable. To me, this poem means that children must find our own independence. We cannot be carbon copies of our mentors because we are not them. All we can do is learn everything we can from them before we are launched off on our own. Of course, we will still value and appreciate everything that they taught us, but we also must find our own identities and values. So to do that, for most of this year, we have all been encouraged to explore and learn about ourselves, our beliefs, and learn what we believe and how it relates to being you, you. For a while, I was trying to figure out exactly what I should write. Then I realized it was obvious. Your core beliefs aren't something you need to search for. Your core beliefs are right in front of you, not some deep down thing you need to find. They're obvious in every decision you make and every time you interact with another human. But of course, putting something like how you treat other people isn't exactly easy to put into words. So here's where I'm going to start. The third UU principle. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. To me, this quote means two things. The first is quite straightforward. We accept everyone. We all hear this constantly. But what exactly does it mean? Well, to me, it means that it is important that we try to accept everyone, not despite their differences, but for them. This doesn't mean we welcome people who judge and hurt each other. To me, this means we don't question or judge things people can't and shouldn't want to change. The second message is that we need to help each other discover our own personal opinions, not just copy someone else's. Now, having said that, we also need to rely on each other to help us understand our own beliefs and put them into words. It is important that none of us judge or question what each other say. Even though we all believe we are correct, none of us know any better than others if there's a God or an afterlife. So none of us are really qualified to judge what each other think. I see so many people tell each other what to think, but I have concluded that, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. Of course, we all have our own beliefs on if there's a God or an afterlife, but I don't think that's the important part. I acknowledge that I could easily be wrong. I try to apply this to my everyday life by not telling people they're wrong, because, of course, from my point of view, I'm right, but from theirs, they are. A lot of people judge one another for their beliefs on things they can't prove, but I believe we should focus on treating each other well now instead of fighting about something we can't prove. I believe that we all need to help each other and accept each other's beliefs.
Hi, I'm Karina Lee, and I'm in ninth grade at Emerson Junior High. I'm 14 years old, and I've been attending this church for as long as I can remember. And my mom actually grew up in this congregation, too. I recently realized that, to me, this congregation is a place where I can be myself, surrounded by supportive and kind people, without fear of being judged. This relates to our third principle, part of which is acceptance of one another. In fact, if I'm not sure about an outfit, I'll often wear it to church to see how I like it before wearing it to school. As I'm finishing up the COA program, I've been thinking about my beliefs, which I know have been influenced by being part of this congregation and our seven principles. I believe that if you work hard at something, you can almost always achieve it. A simple example of this is that I used to not be very flexible. Somehow, I made up my mind to become more flexible and stretch with my mom every night for almost a whole school year. I went from barely being able to reach past my knees to almost putting my hand flat on the floor. I agree with our first principle. Everyone is important and worthy of respect. We all have a right for our side of the story to be heard. What made me think of this It was when I was reading the book, To Kill a Mockingbird. There's a chapter where Scout, the main character, starts swearing. But her uncle tells her to only use swear words in extreme provocation. Later, her cousin Frances says a lot of bad things about her father, Atticus, and she gets so mad that she swears at him and punches him a couple of times. And everyone immediately assumed that Scout attacked Frances for no good reason because she's known to be violent and swear for no reason. But she did have a good reason, and it deserved to be heard. I believe people should be judged by their actions, not by their race, who they're attracted to, their sex, their gender, or anything they don't have control over. In other words, I believe in justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, just like our second principle says. In To Kill a Mockingbird, a man was unreasonably convicted for a crime he didn't commit, just because of his race and being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this should never happen. I agree with our fourth principle, that people have a right to their own beliefs, unless those beliefs lead them to harm others. Just like in the fifth principle, I believe people should have a say in what happens in their lives, which we implement here through covenants and the democratic process. I believe that bad things we do to others will affect us, and that in a way, we are connected. The well-being of the earth is imperative to our own, as we are all part of the earth. This belief is influenced by our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of existence that we are all a part of. I believe there are many ways to accomplish the same result, and people should be able to do so however works best for them. For example, I had to spend some time climbing a tree to clear my mind and think about my credo. I believe being a good person is trying your best to be good, which may not be the best, but your best. I believe that being good is not purposely causing harm. By my standard of being good, I am not perfect, and I don't expect anyone to be. I shouldn't expect myself to be perfect either. I believe that people act mean or bad because they are hurt or insecure, and trying to pass it on to someone else. A quote I like related to this is, "Hurt people hurt people," which to me means that people who are hurt will in turn hurt others. I believe that everyone in their life will do things that aren't good, but that doesn't make them a bad person. I know I'm very lucky to have the life I do, and I need to work on understanding and believing that.
Hi, my name is Davis Robinson. I am 15 years old, and I'm a ninth grader, and I go to Holmes Junior High. I have a hard time expressing myself in words. It is much easier for me to express myself through music. I'm going to be playing a piano piece called A Sigh by Franz Liszt to help me express my beliefs. I love this piece because a sigh can mean many different things. A sigh can mean frustration. I get frustrated when I think about my beliefs in God. I am not sure if I believe in God. I see signs around me that there may be a God, but I am still not sure if God actually exists. That is my frustrated sigh. A sigh can mean contentment. I am content with who I am. One thing that I use as a compass to direct the choices I make is to always be myself. Finally, a sigh can mean amazement. I believe love is amazing and conquers all. I believe that the love of my family and my community helps me to do things that I have difficulty with. That is my sigh of amazement and joy. I hope you can hear all these sighs as I play this piece.
Hi, I'm Alana Grismer, and I've been going to this church since the first Sunday after I was born. I'm sure that many of you guys have known me since I was younger, and I'm sure that I know about half of the ones who do. I would say that most of my earliest memories are from inside this very church. I remember playing on the playground outside the bridge house, and I remember going to OWL all three times. And I remember making the strong connections I have with some of the youth and adults that go to this church. When I was first trying to write this credo, I was at a loss for what to write about. I don't believe in any kind of God, I don't believe in an afterlife, and I certainly don't feel like an overall religious person. All of these things combined have made it confusing to me and a lot of my friends why it is that I go to church exactly. At about this age, I think I finally realized that it is because of how accepted and safe this church makes me and others feel. I can say confidently that all of my life, I have believed in every single one of the seven principles. For anyone who doesn't know, these are seven principles, seven core beliefs that we, as UUs, choose to follow. They have always been a part of my life, and even though it was mostly subconsciously, they have affected my actions and outlooks on the world. I have always tried to be an open-minded person and understand how other people feel and think. As you can imagine, many of my friends and classmates have done things that aren't necessarily the best ideas. And I feel as though growing up in this church with these principles ingrained into my brain, I can better understand and help people that need it. Each of the principles we follow resound in different parts of my life, but I would say that without a doubt, the one that impacts me the most is the second principle. This one says that we believe in justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. To me, this means that everyone should be treated the same, or at least no different because of the way they look or are. This, more recently, has become a huge part of my life. This is because I personally identify as a part of the LGBTQIA+ community. I also have many family members that are part of this community in even more ways than I am. One of the people in my life that I feel as though I'm closest with and can always go to is my sibling. They have always been a huge part of the way that I see the world, even when I was too young to have many views or my own views on the world. I wanted to follow them everywhere and learn from them. Delta, along with this church, has taught me to be accepting of everyone through not only their beliefs, but their actions. Delta has been pretty much the most loving and supporting person in my life who I literally would not know what to do without. Their advice, love, acceptance, and bravery have truly inspired me to be myself in every way. Because of all of this, to me, the most important thing in life is for everyone to be treated fairly. I have never even been able to understand how people discriminate against others because of their looks or beliefs, especially when they aren't hateful or harmful to any other people. I have actually ended up spending time trying to understand those people and to see their perspective. More importantly, I'm trying to learn not to treat them any differently, despite not agreeing with their oppressive ideas, which can be hard at times, but is really important. I also believe that a huge part of acceptance is knowing the difference between equality and equity. I personally connect more to the idea of equity, because treating people fairly doesn't always mean that you're treating them all the same. People of all kinds need support and friendship at different levels and in different ways. Knowing the difference between equity and equality has hugely become a part of the way I act and interact with others. I have been so lucky to share this exploration with the other youth at this church, including my best friend of 11 years, Ashlyn. She and the others have been so amazing to debate with, and I mean, I can't say that we always agreed, but hearing their ideas really helped solidify my own opinions and beliefs. I'm so excited to become a more solid member of this church, and I can't wait to build more relationships in this community. I hope that everyone here will debate something that we can share ideas on with me at some point throughout my participation in this church's community. I'd like to thank everyone for listening and everyone who supports this church in any way, because it is truly an amazing community.
Friends, let us settle in for a time of stillness, meditation, reflection, and prayer. Spirit of love, life, and justice, you who go by many names, we acknowledge a presence, some power and force larger than ourselves. We give thanks for this opportunity to gather together in community to worship, to remind ourselves of our highest ideals, and to dream a world together. We give thanks for our elders and our youth, those who have shown us the way and those who show us of a new way to understand the world. We especially are grateful for our youth today for sharing so deeply and so thoughtfully the way they understand the world and how it can be. We give thanks for the rain, the surprising, lovely rain. And we bring our hearts and minds to our homeless neighbors, those who are most negatively impacted by these cold storms. May they be comforted. May they find warmth. May they be dry. May we care for them. We bring our hearts and minds to places where new laws have passed, new laws that threaten bodily autonomy. May we continue to pray and work to change these laws, to build about a world where everyone has final say over how their body works and is recognized. May we have a world where everyone has access to family planning, to contraceptive, and to abortion. May we continue to work for justice. We lift up the activists working to gather tomorrow in Sacramento for Immigrant Day, and the work they are doing to make sure that every member of our community is recognized and held and finds justice. We recognize those who have worked so hard and have come so far to be part of our community. May we see change in the world. We recognize everyone struggling with health and wholeness. May they find comfort. May they be cared for. And we especially bring to our hearts the memory of Aaron Melby, former intern and longtime member who died this weekend after a prolonged battle with cancer. Aaron's celebration of life will be planned and the date will be announced shortly. Now let us lift up in our hearts and mind and in our voices the people, places, and events that weave us together in a tapestry of love we call community. For all these prayers and those that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, we give thanks. For all these gifts we share, and for your time, talent, and treasure, we give thanks. So I got a little surprise. I'm going to ask our coming-of-age cohort to come on here, and let's give it up for them once. Big round of applause.
top of all their schoolwork and chores and everything, they have spent a remarkable amount of time here at the church with their parents and with their teachers and with each other. And we also have a cohort of mentors. So if you were a mentor for one of these students, we ask you to come on down too so we can acknowledge you as well. Thank Caitlin as well for being our head teacher and organizer for Coming of Age. Oh, and Shama and Mark. Shama and Mark over in the back are our Mugs teachers. Thank you very much. Anyone who's raised in a UU church often goes through coming of age and can acknowledge that this is an important time for us to develop in our faith and our understanding as young adults. And I think you've really seen how the work has paid off. So we have a small gesture for all of the students as a way to remind them for the things they've learned and the things they've shared and taught together, including a copy of their credo, a nice little necklace with a chalice pendant so that they can keep their faith by their hearts, and a few other little tokens of our appreciation. And Caitlin, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Just that this year, I know there's been lots of joys and extremes, as there happens to be in junior high. And also just throwing this out there, that I do help run the high school youth group, and I'm hoping to see all of you next year in that group also to continue your UU journey and entertain me also. Thank you.
And on behalf of the parents, we have a gift for Caitlin as well.
We extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of community, the light of justice, or the beauty of truth. May it serve as a beacon in our hearts until we return.
Please take hands. We know this journey to discover our truths is never ending. As our journey and yours continues, we are glad to be surrounded in this loving community. Let the people say, Amen.
Amen.